This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Powering Through the Pandemic on BFM 89.9.
Hi there, this is Audrey Raj, and this is Powering Through the Pandemic. So the video game industry and esports, they've seen a boost during these past few months, with COVID-19 lockdowns allowing more people to explore new games and spend more time engaged with them. But what we understand is it's really not that peachy behind the scenes. How have the lockdowns and these stay-at-home orders affected game developers, their plans and offerings for 2020, as well as the expos and trade events that industry players really look forward to? Well, we ask Alex Fernandez, CEO of Streamline Media Group, to let us into his house to see how Streamline is powering through the pandemic. Alex, thanks for taking the time to speak with us and for staying up so late to take my call. How's the family at Streamline been doing, you know, throughout this whole lockdown and with COVID-19?
You know, it's interesting. The entire lockdown has been, I guess, one of the most eye-opening situations that we've ever faced as a company. And I think just myself as an individual, obviously no one saw this happening, but what it's definitely done is tested out our processes and the capability of our business to be resilient in the face of existential threats. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, our team was able to meet the challenge head on, mainly because of the fact we had invested in the technology and because we just communicated very effectively. I mean, we have a very straightforward and open culture at the business that allows us to really talk very frankly about things as they're happening. And given the threat that was basically laid out by COVID, we just had to jump into the situation and get things solved as fast as possible. And obviously, our primary concern has always been the health and safety of our colleagues and making sure that everyone is okay, that everyone is fed, and that we're not in harm's way. And then everything else comes after that.
So, Alex, you're calling in from Vegas right now. So it must be challenging trying to manage the team back home from there and everyone else that has been spread out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues was just not being there. I mean, I was on the road when the entire COVID outbreak started in China. I was actually in Japan when I first started seeing it at the end of January, and I kept monitoring the situation until it basically started to spread all over. And honestly, you know, from my end, I wake up at 4:30 every morning. I'm on calls from 5 o'clock until about 11 a.m. And then it's basically nonstop work until about 5 o'clock. And then I do calls again until about 7 p.m. Nighttime. You know, I think the major challenge here that is for me personally has been just not being in proximity with my team. I'm a very hands-on type of person. I like being with the people and I like being in the trenches. Having to do this remotely has been something which really pushed my level of empathy and ability to basically understand situations without having to be physically in proximity to everyone to a new level. At the same time, you know, it's about really being able to give people the emotional support and really that room to breathe and voice their frustration. So I guess in a lot of times I've played more therapist than I've played anything else because ultimately, I mean, these are very critical situations with everyone for their personal lives as well as professional lives.
Alex, I'm hoping that you can kind of set the scene for us right now. You know, what's happening in the game developing industry? Are we expecting just delays? Is demand up as more people stay at home to stay safe? What's going on globally and also, you know, locally here in Malaysia?
You know, so starting from a, I guess, from a global level, we can see basically this. In February, we did an article about the effect COVID was going to have on the games industry, and it proved to be very prescient. Ultimately, at the end of the day, any game that had actually been released or was about to go gold, which is effectively the process of gold mastering a CD or a DVD, even though they're pressed on new mediums now, they basically have benefited from a golden age of lockdown where pretty much people are bored and they're buying whatever they get their hands on. But from a production standpoint, what we saw was any game that still needed to be receiving ratings or still somewhere in production were basically slammed because ultimately this outbreak started off in China and it started to make its way throughout Asia, Southeast Asia, and throughout the rest of the world. We began to see basically super developers and super content providers or outsourcing providers get hit and afflicted so deadly, so, as you say, so massively. that basically a lot of productions were just delayed and put on hold. Effectively, the research that we've been able to see stated roughly 65% of the video games industry actually had no work-from-home contingency plan. Mm. So we can definitely expect delays. We can expect a calendar that doesn't look like anything we've seen before. There's no actual conventions, no trade shows. There's no, you know, face-to-face meetings that generally serve as the anchor points of video game development and production.
Right.
All those have been canceled until next year.
So would you say that the biggest challenge for the game developers right now is developing a port?
You know what? Yeah, it's actually funny. It's twofold. The first issue, and we can look at it from the local context. From the local context, the biggest issues I see are really twofold, and this really bleeds into the international issue as well. So if you look at it from this perspective, most business development is done face-to-face. What we call biz dev in the games industry is traditionally done at trade shows or in-person visits, traveling all over the world, showcasing the latest capability of your team, your latest products, your latest technologies. Without those trade shows, you're effectively restricted or locked into the relationships you already have or through connections that you can get into that will present you to the people you need to speak to. Mm. So at that point, deal flow gets choked off. The second point is basically, if you so happen to have a production working, is your staff able to work off-site remotely with your customer? Is your customer allowing you to effectively work off-site because of security restrictions or technology restrictions, mm. or whether or not they are even built to actually have off-site work with different groups located all over the world? So ultimately, they develop a part together really is a circumstance that really comes down to a kind of bit of luck, infrastructure setup, and of course relationships that allow success to be extended between parties. So unfortunately, what we're seeing is that a lot of developers and a lot of these studios that provide services, unfortunately, weren't able to get into that first wave. They're able to actually work, and they're effectively sitting. And so this is one of the, I would say, one of the deadly parts of the games industry right now is you have a lot of development teams and a lot of service studios that are idling. And I think this is really one of those unknown tragedies that I think is going to become very clear to people. It's just how much these companies depend on face-to-face meetings and ability to build up the relationships and Rolodex with customers that just hasn't been happening. And you have to imagine that basically getting business in this industry can take anywhere between 3 to 6 months. So generally, if your pipeline wasn't already full, chances of yourself surviving into the fall or into the end of the year, it's going to start getting deadly for a lot of studios.
So, Alex, I know that your teams have delivered in some of the most interesting or the most grueling of game development situations. And this is even like prior to the coronavirus. Is there a secret to doing this?
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I wouldn't say that what we do is secret. I think it's just common sense. But I would say, because we like things difficult and we've always basically been a company that, you know, thrives in adversity and challenges, we see things differently. So I guess the first thing that I would say is that we built a culture that can sustain and promote this idea of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, or what we call VUCA.
Yeah.
This VUCA traits are what we look for in our people and what we train into our people so they can understand the fact that when you're working in video games, which is already a volatile business where just the privilege of making games is enough for you to understand that there is no such thing as security. That helps you basically understand things will go up and down. But honestly, it was our investment in technology, the investment into the creation of a platform we called StreamFrame, that really gave us the edge. I mean, if it wasn't for this tech that we built over the past 7 to 8 years, we would not have been able to transition so quickly. I mean, we literally left our office and 2 days later we're working without missing a beat. That was more difficult to get the actual hardware deployed than it was to actually just get up and working. And I think really the other side of this has nothing to do with technology and has nothing to do with, you know, fancy capability, but goes down to the basics of running a business and being human to each other. And that's really just understanding that in a situation like this, which is so extraordinary, you just need to be a human being. And you have to ditch the idea of trying to turn profits or trying to basically be smart. You just have to survive. And I think this is something where that animal mind and that instinct comes into play, and ensuring that your team understands that you're in it for the best interest of you all. But I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we're able to make it through, because we're just honest and plain, frank people. And I think in this type of situation, that's all you can be. You can't be the smartest person in the room. You just have to be the hardest working person in the room.
Yeah, and people before profit.
Absolutely, people before profits. I mean, that is the golden rule, especially now, and I think moving on. One thing people need to remember is that people will not forget those who chose profit over people.
Mm.
And that'll be one of those things that is going to be a reckoning, because why would you ever go back to those places knowing full well what you're going to get?
We're going to take a quick break now for some messages, but when we come back, we discuss how the pandemic has affected access to talent in the game development industry. Powering through the pandemic. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Be financially minded. BFM 89.9.
This is Powering Through the Pandemic. I'm Audrey Raj. CEO of Streamline Media Group, Alex Fernandez, is on the phone with us this morning, all the way from Vegas. And we've been discussing how COVID-19 has impacted the video game development scene. Now, Alex, I want to come back to StreamFrame. Now, I got an email from Streamline a couple of weeks ago on StreamFrame, and I figured that you guys must have put this together during this pandemic to serve the needs of game developers everywhere. But now I understand that this was something you guys were already working on, and I guess we're just happy to have in the bag at this time?
Yeah, so basically the entire concept of StreamFrame, it's been the idea and the dream of our company that people shouldn't have to move away from home to work on or make a living on their creative passions. And, you know, in video games, it has traditionally been that you'd have to go to the urban centers of excellence. You know, KL became one in Southeast Asia. Prior to that, you'd have to go to places like Amsterdam, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and basically these big hubs or Montreal, which basically were concentrating points for video game developers and publishers.
Mm.
And we envisioned a world where you wouldn't have to do that, and the only way that that would ever be possible was through the creation of a remote external development platform that would bring people together and allow them to work with each other as though they were sitting next to each other. And that was the entire concept of StreamFrame. So we just started building it, and honestly, that's what automated and allowed us to basically reduce the friction and reduce the amount of actual mind share required on manual processes and automated things that honestly just shouldn't be done by people anymore. So that people can be creative, be technical, be problem solving, rather than doing, you know, mundane inputs of tasks that honestly a computer can do better than an individual.
So you're literally putting people together from different parts of the world on one platform in order to kind of develop together?
Correct. And what it also does, it includes our customers as well. I mean, you can imagine that basically our platform allows us to not only provide a workplace for everyone from all over the world, but also compliance, as well as basically project tracking, transparency, accountability in the production workspace. And really, this is what it comes down to. And when we talked earlier, I was talking about how trust is what builds everything. And in the case of a creative project or in video game development, it is all about trust.
Mm.
What we're able to do is basically imbue our actual technology platform with a type of process and type of way of working that built trust and extended trust that went beyond just a personal relationship to a moment where people really know what's happening just by being in the system. And I think this is something we're moving forward. We're fortunate that we have the system, but moreover, really, the way work has changed and the nature of working for the foreseeable future will be done remote. This is just one of those advantages that we have as a business that I think most companies are going to be facing a real challenge having to find a way to be able to provide that to their own customers, whether in video games or any other line of service.
Alex, what about talent? I mean, what's the situation with talent in the industry now? Because it was a really pretty scarce pre-COVID-19, right?
Yeah, it was sparse. I think, you know, you're hitting onto something that is really important and the core subject to my own heart. I think talent is being ravaged by this. I mean, there are massive losses in visual effects right now. The visual effects industry, which is a cousin to the video games industry, is being destroyed. They are basically in a situation where they have faced massive layoffs. Massive layoffs because of the fact that they have no actual productions happening. And then you have the fact that a lot of talent that was working in tertiary areas of video games, they're not working. And, you know, we're in a production environment. Let's be clear. We make games and they're production. They're not projects that are always on. So if you're not working on a project, you're basically sitting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge problem for people right now. So talent in itself right now, I think, is basically trying to find a way to connect. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think that we're going to have almost like a lost generation of people that don't have necessarily the portfolio they need to have, or basically have the income they need to have in order to sustain a long-term existence. So I mean, that's a serious issue right now.
So if production is being affected, obviously plans and deliveries will also be affected for 2020. Do you see a major delay or shift in timelines due to this?
You know what, shifting timelines are already there. I mean, you can already see it. The timelines are already shifting. They've already started shifting. I mean, you're seeing that across the board. I think one of the things that our industry is good at is that we love to say things are good until it's not, you know, put a brave face and hope that everything's okay. But I'm a person that likes to think that, you know, you have real people that are relying on feeding their family. So, you know, let's cut the crap, so to speak, and let's get direct to what's going on and make sure these people can eat. So I think that ultimately you're going to start being more aware of them as they start getting revealed to people. But ultimately, they're absolutely shifting timelines and basically just hoping that the companies are able to basically make do as they weather this really really terrible storm that's happening right now.
Alex, you guys are also in the midst of a Kickstarter right now. So how is that going?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm glad you bring that up. Yeah, we're actually on the last 17 days of a Kickstarter for our new title, Bacon Switch. It's actually going phenomenally well. We have less than $10,000 left to meet our goal. The community support globally has been fantastic. And really, if you would have told me that basically a crazy couch co-op brawler with a baking twist would be the game that people would love from us, I'd be like, you're crazy. But it turns out that's the game that everyone loves, and that's the game that's taking off. So, you know, fingers crossed. You never know how things go. But, you know, I'm an optimist, and I think that we'll not only be successful with it, but I think it's taking off quite in the place it needs to go. So, you know, obviously I tell everyone that's listening, please pledge if you can. Go take a look at it on Kickstarter and back your local developers and, you know, help us make a great game that really the only reason why we're in Kickstarter right now is because we wanted to put online multiplayer so that we could play a part together. That's the main reason why we're doing this. It's just that originally there wasn't going to be a online multiplayer component until later, but given COVID-19, we need to make sure that people can still play together, especially family, friends, and kids. They need something to do while they're sitting indoors, and we want them to play something that isn't violent, that isn't crazy, but it's something about teamwork and bringing people together, and that's as diverse as the company that's making it. So, you know, Bacon Switch is that product for us.
All right. Alex, has this pandemic taught you anything about yourself or the business world? You know, many entrepreneurs talk about how this has taught them so many new things about themselves, about leadership. It's made them rethink the way they work or what their limits are, things like that. Is there anything that's given you food for thought?
You know what? It's interesting. I was talking to my mom about this the other day. And it's funny because I'm literally at home. I have my sister here, my mother's here, my two kids are here, my wife's here. It's a multi-generational home now, and we're all here together. And I think this is the longest I've ever been together like this, and since I was a teenager. And I guess there's three things that really come out of it. From a business perspective, what it did is it reaffirmed the spirit and the entire reason why my partners and I started this business. The idea of freedom, the ability to create something and control your own destiny, but also the responsibility that comes with having to take care of everyone under your charge and putting people in front of profits still being one of the calling mantras for us as a business. The second thing for me as an individual was realizing just how much I really can walk through and be flying with. And what I mean is basically this, is that what I realized is that the changing circumstances of COVID-19, it wasn't the fact that basically everything became uncertain that disturbed me. It was just realizing that the normal day of business of what it means to be a company and entrepreneur, which is already basically laid out with, you know, traps and bombs and things that can really destroy a company, and that's just the way it is, versus now if I went outside and I bought myself a pizza, so that could be the thing that killed me. That was the part right there when I looked at it and said, wow, I could really die by just doing a stupid thing like that. I had to take a moment to think about that and basically reorder my life because, you know, I traveled for 6 months out of the year. To not have to get on the plane and be home as long as I've been was a complete revolution to me, to where now I'm looking at it being like, wow, this is actually kind of nice. It's nice being at home. It's nice seeing everyone. And honestly, I'm quite comfortable. So I guess from that point, I got to live a part of my life I haven't lived before during these 20 years, which is being home and understanding what it is to actually be home with your family. So I don't have like a terrible, crazy epiphany from it as much as it actually gave me an opportunity to rest and recalibrate. So for me, it's been, though tragic what's happening, it's given me an understanding of myself better than I had before.
Alex, I also want to talk about the new Starve Up videos that you've been putting out to help others better manage during, you know, these challenging times.
Yeah, the Starve Up videos. So thank you, A, for looking at it. I appreciate you having a look at it. You know, honestly, the entire thing of Starve Up, creative entrepreneurship and leadership advice, that comes from my heart. It comes from a desire to give back. I remember when I was starting Streamline with my partners, I had business experience. I mean, I had working experience. And then I was 20 years old when we started the company. So you can imagine there's a 20-year-old kid that basically had to learn every terrible lesson he could by burning his hands on everything and basically surviving it all. And what I realized is that, you know, not everyone is going to necessarily have the fortitude or the desire to, you know, walk through hell to figure things out. So why not just basically share what I've learned along the way? And it's really given me an outlet to basically help me understand further just, you know, what it really takes to be an entrepreneur. And honestly, what it takes to be an entrepreneur all over the world. I've had the fortunate, opportunity to be an entrepreneur in Malaysia, in Southeast Asia, in Amsterdam, in Europe, and then here in the United States, and of course, the business in Latin America. So it's given me a unique perspective. And what I do see is that, you know, we all want the same thing. People want hope. People want opportunity. And, you know, especially when you're coming in areas where it's not readily available or you don't have access, being able to share those lessons and pass on words of wisdom that I've gotten from some amazing people who have supported me in my career, it's just something that I want to pass on to other people. And that's really what that entire video series is about. And I just look to share more of that knowledge and wisdom with people. Now, not everyone enjoys it, but you know what? It's not about everyone else. It's just really about spreading knowledge and helping other people basically cope and also understand. You know, I help people make better decisions than I make. You know, that would be the best thing that would ever happen, honestly, in terms of success from that entire video series and really that vlog channel.
Okay, I'm going to give you the opportunity now to tell our listeners where they can go view those videos.
So if you go to YouTube, you just look at Starve Up, that's S-T-A-R-V-E-U-P, like I'm starving up, or starving up, but starving, because we started with no money. And on YouTube, you can find it there. You can also see it if you go to Streamline Media Group's YouTube site, you can find it there as well, or www.starveup.com. And there, you know, don't be alarmed that you also see my photography on there, because I am also a photographer. It's something I do as well. And there you can see the ranting and ravings of a CEO, and I guess the person who's just kind of traveled around making business happen. But I would love any feedback and opinions anyone has. And if you have any ideas for content you'd like me to cover, please feel free to leave it in the comments in the notes, and I'll definitely respond back.
Yeah, and if you're keen to hear more about the whole Streamline startup story, you can go look for the podcast entitled Ramen to Riches. And that's when I think it was my first interview with you, Alex, like many years ago.
It was. And in fact, you were the very first person I ever spoke to.
Oh.
Actually, on the radio show. And this is it. It's a very, very memorable for me. And obviously, you know, I actually want to have you on my podcast. I actually want to have you come and talk to me about your journey, because I think it's fascinating what you've done in order to put this together. You know, I've been reading about your stuff and watching your stuff. So I'd love for you to share your story with the rest of us as well.
Okay, we'll sidebar this for later. But Alex, just before we go, I have to ask, what's the Streamline game plan for the rest of the year? Or is the focus now 2021, 2022? What can we expect from Streamline moving forward?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think what it comes down to is this. You know, number one is the health and safety of all of our people. That's the number one priority. So obviously, respecting the MCO, the soft MCO, and understanding what it means and ensuring that our people are fine. That is my number one priority. The second priority is obviously launching Bacon Switch. That's coming out summer 2020. So it's coming out. It's coming out fast. So we're kicking through that. And, of course, servicing our customers and making sure that we deliver on the projects they're on. But as we move past this, you know, kind of new reality or the new normal, as everyone's calling it, and get past the great pause that's happened, it's really looking at the future in which we can understand just what it's going to mean to do work from home, remote work, leveraging our technology, understanding that, you know, it's no longer it really even something we can all say that, oh, the most effective work is being at home, being at the office. I mean, the reality is that responsible adults, responsible people who understand how to deliver results, which is how we're all going to be measured now, that is going to be the secret for commerce and the secret for business, let's say, maximization. So I'm fascinated by that, and I'm looking at that quite tremendously with my company and with obviously my executives, but also just understanding the stories that will be evolving out of places like Southeast Asia and Latin America and Africa of how they were able to ride and thrive despite all of the turmoil. I think that is going to be the story that I'm looking at, and I believe it's going to help us understand quite clearly, basically, how the world is going to go. I don't necessarily think it's going to be the story of what happens to the West or the larger economies, because ultimately they're playing through what they are right now. I think this is really going to be the story about the emerging economies and what they were able to do in order to get back right into basically a leading position or basically fast follow through. So that's what I'm looking at right now.
All right. Alex, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me on, and obviously, please stay healthy. Everyone stay healthy out there, and you know, make sure you wash your hands.
I've been speaking with Alex Fernandez, CEO of Streamline Media Group. Now, for more info on Streamline or their StreamFrame platform, go check out streamline-mediagroup.com. And if you'd like to catch up on some of the other interviews we've done with Alex, you can find them on our website, bfm.my. You can also catch all our podcasts on the BFM app, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast fix. My name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening. And like Alex said, stay safe, everyone. BFM 89.9.
Powering through the pandemic on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.